Turn with me to the book of Matthew and the 9th chapter. And we'll be reading verses 27 through 34 this morning of this 9th chapter. Again, we have two more miracles, as they are called, of Jesus Christ performing upon individuals, which we shall draw likenesses to salvation as we look at these this morning. Let's begin reading with verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, that is, from the ruler's house, Jairus' house, from healing the dead, bringing her, his daughter, to life, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, "Believe ye that I am able to do this?" They said unto him, "Yea, Lord." Then touched he their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it unto you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, "See that no man know it." But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never so seen in Israel." But the Pharisees, those old Pharisees, but the Pharisees said, "He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils." Simple title for this morning is God Heals the Blind and the Deaf. God heals the blind and the deaf. First thing we want to look at this morning are the two blind men. That's what comes first in our reading. In the book of John, in chapter 1 and verse 4, tells us that concerning the Word, which was God, or which was with God, which was God, verse 14 of that chapter tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So it's talking about none other than Jesus Christ. And John 1 and verse 4 says, "In Him," in Jesus Christ, in the Word, in God, "was life. And the life was the light of men. In Him was life." And so He raised the dead to life and showed Himself to be the same who breathed into man the nostrils, the breath of life. In the book of John and chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said, concerning himself. He said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. By giving sight to these blind men, he showed himself to be the same that commanded the light to shine out of darkness. In Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness covered the whole earth. But he commanded the light to shine. And it shone out of darkness. Now concerning these two blind men, we want to notice a couple of things, a couple of facts. First of all, is their persistence. They were persistent. Jesus, while going on his way from Jairus' house to his own house, where he dwelt, two blind men follow him, probably being led by others. It'd be kind of difficult if you're blind to follow someone unless you're being led, you see. So probably being led by others, but that's insignificant. They were crying out. They were with unceasing crying to him. They were persistent. There was an urgency. So they persisted in their crying to him. And take notice of their address of him. These blind men being led through the city, crying, Thou son of David! Thou son of David! These men who had not seen him with the eye, they had only heard of him, knew him to be the son of David. They knew him to be royalty in the line of sitting on the throne. But they knew more now. They knew him to be the Messiah. The Messiah. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, these men had only heard of Jesus. They had not seen him with their eyes. They had only heard of him. But we also want to notice their petition. They were not only saying, Thou son of David, they were crying, Have mercy on us. They needed someone to show them mercy. They knew they were in need. They knew that they were in need of mercy, and therefore the persistence in their crying, Have mercy on us. Now, that's interesting to note. Thou son of David. And it was said concerning the son of David that he would be merciful. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms and chapter 72. And what we have here in this 72nd Psalm is a psalm that was written for Solomon. So it was probably written by David and written to his son Solomon. And in verse 12 we read, For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth. The poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. These verses are proclaiming that he shall be merciful. When they cry, he shall show mercy. He shall help their affliction. He shall deliver them from their poor and needy state. In him shines the tender mercy of God, in Jesus Christ. The day spring from on high, the day star from on high, shines the mercy of our God. This was told concerning at the birth of John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1, in verse 78, it says, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. These men were sitting in darkness. And Jesus came to give light to those sitting in darkness. These blind men did not desire silver or gold. Think about that. They didn't desire silver and gold. It doesn't tell us that they were begging of Jesus money. They wanted mercy. They wanted God to be merciful to them. Why? That they might see. That they might see. That they might be awakened out of their darkness and made to see. It brings us to the urgent request. This, as we said, this request was a persistent request. This request was pressing, and it was necessary. For they followed him in the streets, crying. They followed him in the streets, crying. This word crying, it means to cry as a raven cries. It is a repeated cry. If you've ever heard ravens or blackbirds, they can be some of the noisiest birds. Blue jays are right there, you know, squawking and squawking and squawking. We say, would say, croaking, you know, crying. Master, we need thy mercy. We need thy mercy that we might see. That was their persistent cry. Take note of verse 28. In verse 28 said, and when he was come into the house, the blind man came to him. When he was come into the house. You see, Jesus dealt with them personally. All the while they were crying to him in the streets, and we have no indication that Jesus gave them any ever, never mind. He never paid a bit of attention to him in the streets. But it wasn't until he came into his house, and they came into the house also. Then he deals with them. He deals with them personally in his house. In the house that he dwelt in at Capernaum. They came to him and he then gives them sight to see. According to verse 29, he touched them. And they saw. Salvation is a personal experience. Personal experience by faith in Jesus Christ. Think of Familiar passage of Scripture. Job said in Job chapter 19 and verse 25, I know that my Redeemer liveth. I don't know whether he's your Redeemer or not, but he's my Redeemer, and I know that my Redeemer liveth. Amen. You see, he's my Redeemer. The psalmist in Psalm chapter 16 and verse 5 said, the Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. You see, it was personal.
Amen.
I remember the day I was saved. Many people were around, but it was personal with me. He dealt with me. He saved my soul. He's my Redeemer. I can't attest to the rest of you, but I know he's my Redeemer. Second thing about these men is we have the confession of faith. The confession of faith. Jesus said there in verse 28, believe ye that I am able to do this? Believe ye that I am able to do this? This was not asked in way of doubting their faith in him. They had already demonstrated their faith in his ability by calling him thou son of David and persisting in their request of him. They weren't to be put off. They needed mercy. They knew they needed mercy. And they were crying for his mercy. Romans, not just yet. We'll get to Romans 10:10 in a moment. You see, this was bringing them to an open confession, to an open profession of their faith in him, and for the continued trial of their faith. And therefore we have in the book of Romans in chapter 10 and verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, faith is in the heart. And that faith is discerned and known by our confession. You see, it's in the heart. It takes place in the heart and then with the mouth. We make a confession of him. And Jesus was simply stating, drawing out their confession of him. The confession of these men was not just a mere yes. We would look at that and we'd say, well, that equates to yes. And wasn't it just a mere yes? The word yea there in the Greek is much stronger than that. It's a much stronger affirmation. It means surely, verily, of a truth, Lord. You see how much stronger it is than just our simple yes. I didn't hear you. Yes. Get a little more emphatic. You see, that word yea came with great emphasis. They were persuaded. Yes, Lord. Yes. We believe. We believe. There's no one or anything that can persuade us otherwise. We're persuaded of it. Dear Lord. The healing in verse 29. Then touched he their eyes, saying, Then touched he their eyes, saying, he touched their eyes, and he spoke the word, and they could see. Immediately. Immediately. Not tomorrow. Not an hour from now. But immediately. They could see. Notice the approval of their faith. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. According to your faith, be it unto you. It's not that faith in Jesus' person and power is the cause of their cure. But the understanding is that as they had believed to that extent, they would be healed. And to what extent did they believe? Well, they were persuaded of it. It was an absolute belief. It was an absolute faith in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ and His power to make them whole. And so their salvation was absolute. It was complete. They had a complete restoration. Sight was restored unto them. And they could see. It was performed immediately. And oh, what joy filled their hearts. Faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood secure the satisfaction of God. Did you get that? Faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood secures the satisfaction of God. Turn with me to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 3, in verses 21 to 25. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, to be a satisfaction. Yes. That is the wrath of God against the one who believes, the one who has faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood is satisfied. Not on the basis of your faith, not on the basis of your believing, but on the basis of the work that the Lord Jesus Christ did in shedding His blood on the cross of Calvary. Amen. And your faith just secures it to you. You see, through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. It is by faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood, which is grace. Isn't that what verse 24 said? Being justified freely by His grace. You see, that faith, the faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood is the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Repentance and faith are given to us of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, these two blind men could do nothing to help themselves. They could do nothing to have their sight restored. They needed one to be merciful. One who resided in Him the power to give them their sight. this, in this statement that Jesus said, according to your faith be it unto you, we have Jesus' insistence that faith is necessary. Faith is necessary. Therefore, we read in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 5, tells us that great faith chapter, tells us by faith, Enoch pleased God. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You see, it was secured by faith. We want to also notice that Jesus gives a charge to these men. Jesus gives them a charge in verse 30. He says, Jesus straitly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. Straitly charged. That word is one word in the Greek. Those two words in our English are one word in the Greek. And it comes, it's a stern charge of them. See to it that no man know it. This man who taught as, not as the scribes and the Pharisees, but he taught as one who had authority, one as a judge in his, over his jurisdiction. He charged these men, see to it no man know it. Interesting, isn't it? Very stern charge. It seems to be that more than anything else, this was what? You say, why did he charge them not to tell anyone? Not to say anything to anyone? Well, it seems to be, to me, to be an example of his humility. Remember, Jesus, the Son of God, God, humbled himself just to walk upon earth as a man. He humbled himself. It was an example of Jesus' humility. He had recently reproved the doing of right things in the book of Matthew chapter 6. Things that were good and right and proper to be done. But he reproved doing them for the show of men, for the applause of men. Jesus certainly was not seeking applause for himself. He was not doing it for the show of men. And him being our exemplar, we're not to do right things to please men either. We're to do it as pleasing unto God. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs in chapter 20. Proverbs 20, and look with me at verse 6 here, where we read, most men will proclaim every one his own goodness. Most men. We could say all men. In some way, shape, or form will proclaim their own goodness. But a faithful man, who can find? You see? See, that verse is saying all will profess their own goodness. Because who can find a faithful man who won't profess his own goodness? Who can find one that won't? That's what our verse says. Look at chapter 25, in Proverbs. And look with me here at verse 27. Proverbs 25, 27. It is not good to eat much honey. So, for men to search their own glory, it is not glory. Men who seek their own praise, it's not praise at all. You see, what we do for to please others, they're not pleasing to God at all. You give to the poor
just to toot your own horn. Hey, Brother Ron, did you see what I give to the poor here? Yeah? It's not pleasing to God. But if I do it in humility and meekness and quietness, it's doing it unto the Lord. Now, others might see it, but I'm not doing it for their approval. I'm doing it for God's approval. Sometimes our prayers, and this is a hard one. This is a hard one for all of us. Sometimes in praying, we want to choose our words because, well, others are listening to us pray. Just talk to your Father, which is in heaven. Just pray to Him. Just talk to Him as you would to Brother Ron. You know?
Yes. Jesus wasn't for the applause of men. It wasn't for man's approval. Another thing to consider concerning this is, consider this, his time had not yet come. His time had not yet come. Many a times it tells us, for his time had not yet come. Yeah. It wasn't time yet.
As we consider that thought, just think about that. The more and more that he was proclaimed and that his notoriety went abroad, well, the more and more the those old scribes and Pharisees hated him.
And it wasn't his time yet to be taken. See,
but if it got too bad,
they might rush his time. You see, not that that's possible with the Son of Man, the one who's God. You see, but then in the last part of that, verse 31. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. Isn't that something? Jesus had sternly charged them, tell it to no man. But what did they do? They couldn't help themselves. They couldn't help themselves. They had to tell it. They had to voice it. They were so happy. They were so joyous. Once I was blind, now I can see. Come see this man, Jesus. He gave me sight.
Amen.
Listen. The one whom God has been merciful to, you can't keep him quiet. You can't keep them quiet. They have to voice it. Let me tell you what Jesus can do for you.
Amen.
I know because He did it for me.
Amen.
And He can do the same for you. You see, Then we come to another man. In verses 32 to 34, we have here the healing of the dumb. Notice his condition. As we read that, did you notice his condition? He was possessed of a devil. Yes. He was possessed of the devil. And therefore was dumb. That is deaf and dumb. That's what that word dumb there in the Greek, that with the word that is there, the Greek word for it is deaf and dumb. Probably could not speak because he could not hear. You all seen people and maybe known people who were born deaf. And because they were born deaf, they have a hard time formulating words, learning to formulate words, because they can't hear how it's pronounced. And so even those ones who are born deaf, even years later, they talk a little strange, a little funny to us, because it's how they process the words, you see. They don't have all the senses like you and I, who born with hearing and was able from an infant to hear the words said and pronounced, you see. All, and get this, all that are under the power of Satan are in a sad condition. They're in a horrible condition, just as this man was. Just as these blind men were. They were blind, and one could not hear. They were blind and deaf. Without sight, without hearing. All that are under the power of Satan are in this sad condition. We're told in the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, in verse 1, it says, And you being quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. They're dead in trespasses and sins if they're under the power of Satan. Verse 2 goes on to say, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The prince of the power of the air is Satan, is devil. Amen. And they're under his power. And they're in a sad condition. How sad a condition? They're dead. In trespasses and sins. They cannot see and they cannot hear. They walk according to the prince of the power of the air and are the children of disobedience and the children of wrath, according to verse 3 of chapter 2. And they do the lust of their father, the devil. Look with me at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Those that are under the power of Satan, they do the desires of their father. Verse 44. Jesus said, ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust, the desires of your father, ye will do. Isn't that amazing? That's more than amazing, it's sad.
Amen.
Sad condition to be in. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not. Why? Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And he keeps them in that state until.
That's what that word lust means.
Till
the light of the gospel comes to them.
Brings a remedy. But God, Ephesians 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4 says, but God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Satan keeps them blind. Keeps them blind, and they cannot hear until God works. Until God commands the light to shine. Until God removes the stoppers from their ears.
God overpowering Satan, casting him out.
And now we hear the gospel and see Christ crucified for me under the power of God. You see,
just as is illustrated in these two examples in our text,
it took the power of God for them to see, and the power of God for Satan to be cast out so that they might hear. Notice the consequence. The consequence of this healing. It says multitudes wondered. Multitudes. The multitudes wondered. The multitudes were amazed. People wonder. They're amazed at the transformation, at the change that has taken place in one whom God has been merciful to.
Amen.
One whom God has opened their ears that they might hear, and their eyes that they might see. And all the change that takes place in such a one. People are amazed. What happened to you? Why won't you do this with me anymore? Why won't you do that anymore with me? Why won't you go here anymore? You see, a change has taken place. Now we love the things of God. I want you to come to the house of God with me. I want you to come and see Jesus, the one whom I've seen. But notice the other group of people, the Pharisees. But those old self-righteous Pharisees, they said, that is not the power of God. That's the power of the devil. You're in allegiance with the devil.
Well, that doesn't even make sense, does it?
That doesn't even make sense, does it? That Satan would cast himself out?
I mean, that's not even, Pharisees, that's not even good thinking. But that's the way of the world, is it not? Satan can't and wouldn't cast himself out. No more can you. Get this, sinner friend. No more can you turn over a new leaf. You can't turn over a new leaf. You can't. You cannot cast out what is in the heart of man. You can't cast that out. Only God can.
Amen.
It takes the power of God. It takes but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, commanding the light to shine out of darkness in the face of Jesus Christ. See the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Shall we stand? Have a song in closing.